This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Power on. Power on.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
Folks, welcome to Racer Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by San Diego Carburetor and Fuel Injection. You need carburation or any type of work at all on your car, San Diego Carburetor and Fuel Injection is where you need to be. Go to sdcarb.com. And if you have a Porsche, Mini, or a BMW, and you're tired of the dealerships, Black Forest Motorsports is your alternative. 40 years experience. Nobody knows as much about those cars as they do. Black Forest Motorsports. Check them out. All right, Gabby, what are you doing over there? Brittany's in the house, hobbling away. She's got no more. She 86'd her go-kart. Now she's on crutches.
Yes, sir.
Wasn't that go-kart more fun?
It was, but I needed to hand it over to someone in need.
My dear mother,
I love you, Mom, but she needs it more than I do.
What happened to her?
She's got a plate and some screws in her foot.
What's with you people?
We're a mess.
You are a mess. Hey, who you got on the line?
Oh, my goodness. So, Dave, I think I told you last week that a wonderful track by the name of Santa Maria Raceway,
which I've heard tons about.
Oh my gosh, so much good stuff. I tried to get up there in 2016. It got raced out, but the Barona boys love it. It's hooked up, it's banked, they have camping, it's right off the freeway. They love it. And about a week or so ago on Facebook, I saw that some people have moved in and it was loud, and so they wanted to shut it down. And so they were saying, please help us support, let the county know how important we are and all the benefits of a raceway. So I contacted David Castaneda, the GM of Santa Maria Raceway, and I said, you got to call in and we got to talk about this.
Sure.
But he said, wait, we're meeting the county on Wednesday. This was last Wednesday.
So we got a breaking news.
We want to hear the rest of the story. Mm-hmm. So please welcome David, GM of Santa Maria Raceway, calling in from Santa Maria.
Hey, David, how's it going, man?
Oh, great to be with you folks.
Hope you got good news.
Oh, yes.
Well, we do have good news. Boy, I tell you, the power of social media, you know, we put it out there. Just a little background. You know, we've been here since 1964, racing every season continuously since 1964.
Wow.
This place opened a month after I was born. So it's and I was born just down the road here. So
part of your life.
Yeah, it's a very special place for a lot of people, and we really found that out quite a bit over last weekend. You know, we put out the call. You know, we have a neighborhood that moved in, you know, behind us, and some people moved in a few years ago. And at first they complained about the races. Anytime the races went past 10 o'clock, they'd give us a call, and we'd explain to them that, you know, we've been here since 64, and our use permit, you know, allows us to have races and allows us to go late. And so eventually they kind of shifted to complaining about some non-racing events, some concerts, some rodeos, different things that we were doing. And so they said, okay, well, we like the racing, but we want everything else to shut down. And we want to put some restrictions on how late racing goes. But, you know, anybody knows anything about sprint cars knows that, you know, one upside down car, a couple of red flags, and it can go late.
Right.
So we really did not want to have any restrictions at all on anything, but particularly the racing, because, you know, we have to have some flexibility. We actually like to get it done at about 9:30. That's our goal you know, we found that families who bring their kids, you know, they come for qualifying at 5 o'clock. You know, by 9:30, the kids have pretty much had it. Mm-hmm. And so we try to get our program in, a high-quality program, great racing, and, you know, that last checkered flag and victory circle going on at 9:30, and everybody seems to be really happy with that. But, you know, sometimes it does go long.
Well, yeah, I mean, we have dirt tracks down here, and you're right. You know, it is what it is. And nothing makes me crazier than have somebody move into your neighborhood and then complain. I mean, don't you go check out your neighborhood before you move into someplace? Good Lord.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not like, you know, the entrance to the development actually is like a shelf road that kind of overlooks our track. So you can kind of, you know, you really can't miss it. But the good news is we put out the call for people to support the track, and we got calls from all over. Because of the coronavirus, you can't actually go to the San Luis Obispo County Supervisors meeting. It's all done virtually. And they gave the option where, hey, we'll give out a number and you can call in and leave like a minute or 2 minute message. And by Friday night, before our Tuesday hearing, we had basically crashed the system. It got so many calls and it filled up. And so they said, okay, well, now we'll take emails. And so they had a bunch of emails. When the hearing happened on Tuesday, it took 4 hours to go through all of the comments, all the calls. They played them all. They played them one after the other. And it was, you know, it was about 150 in support and about 9 against.
Wow.
And, but we got calls from literally all over the Western United States.
Oh, yeah.
Calling from Washington and in Las Vegas and places to say, hey, we come out there a few times a year and we stay in Pismo Beach, you know, because we're right on the Central Coast. We're surrounded by some great areas. We've got Solvang to the south. We've got Pismo Beach and the Central Coast beaches, Avila. San Luis Obispo is not too far by, too far away. Wine country. So when we have a big event, we bring a lot of people from out of town. So they called in. We had people calling in that had talked about, you know, being there as a kid, and now they're bringing their grandchildren.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And it was overwhelming, and we got a 4-0 vote in our favor.
They listened.
We do have some, yeah, we have some restrictions on the concerts, but nothing that was that we can't live with. You know, we can do them Friday, Saturday, or Sunday.
Right.
Have to be done by 10 o'clock, and we've got some other things, but nothing major. And the good news is, our grandfathered in standards for racing hold, so there are absolutely no restrictions. If I want to hold a 24-hour race, I can do it. It's racing. So no restrictions on racing, and that really, you know, bodes well for our future. The concerts, you know, some people say, well, you know, just stop the concerts and do racing. The problem is in today's environment, today's economy, a facility like ours really can't survive with just one type of event. We really have to diversify. You know, with our big sprint series that come here, like King of the West and USAC, and now World of Outlaws wants to come back to Santa Maria. Now we've done some renovations, and they're like, "Yeah, we want to be back." We'd scheduled a race for March of this year, but it got canceled due to coronavirus. Mm-hmm. So we're working on getting them back for next year. That'll be great. The World of Outlaws has not been to Santa Maria for 22 years. They had a great history here. You know, Steve Kinzer has 7 wins here at Santa Maria, and I know he's looking forward to getting Craig on the track to try to keep the family legacy going here.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because I've got your friend in mind, J.C. Agajanian, calling in at 3:45. So I mean 3:30. So I'll make sure we talk about Santa Maria. And what's up with your neighborhood? I do a off-road show, and we finally got Pismo Beach to open up for day use.
Yeah, it's funny. There was a lot of parallels.
You know, you got a lot of grumpy people up there.
Yeah, the same county, the same supervisors are having to deal with that too. And you know, one of our major sponsors is Rugged Radios, and Rugged supplies radios for all kinds of off-road and all of our racers. They're one of our big sponsors, and they're headquartered in Roy Grande, California, just a stone's throw from the beach and the dunes. And, you know, that's a major part of their business. It's a major part of business for a lot of Central Coast businesses. And the idea that they would, you know, try to close the dunes because, you know, some people bought, you know, they built a golf course on the Mesa, and complaining that sand blows. But
And that's because that's because Shea Holmes cut down 60 eucalyptus trees that normally blocked the sand, and then when COVID hit and they shut the beach down, son of a gun, the sand kept blowing.
So yeah, so we got it open.
It actually got worse.
I know. So we got it open to day use. And now we're working. I mean, it's a multi-million dollar, you know, shot in the arm for that area. And for these, don't even get me started. Don't even get me started.
Settle down, Dave.
But hey,
settle
I
down.
Am so glad you're up and running. When are you going to, I mean, are you still racing or are you done for the season and going to start up here soon? Because if so, we'll get people to go to your website and support your track.
Oh, Barona boys, we want to go
well,
up.
Right now, yeah, I remember, and I remember that race. I was the one who had to call that because of rain. And that's one of those things it's a damned if you do, damned if you
yeah.
don't.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
You know, you want to call, you don't want to call it to the last minute because you want to give it every chance
right.
to make it happen.
Right.
But actually, that race, I actually did call it a little early because I knew we had about six or seven people coming from Barona.
Yep, that was my caravan.
Yeah, they had a caravan. You guys were like almost to LA or in
We were just north of Ventura. Yeah, you gave us enough time to turn around, though.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we all raced.
I felt so bad, but I was looking forward to having that group up there. I love the dwarf car series. We get a lot of dwarf cars here. You know, we're just kind of situated right in the middle, so we get a lot of the Southern California dwarf cars, and then the Bay Area dwarf cars come on down. And once in a while, when we have a dwarf car event, you know, when the stars line up and we get them from both ends, boy, I tell you, that's a great show.
All right, hold on a sec. Hey, is Barona called in? All right, tell you what, Barona has not called in yet because I support all the local tracks, or Brittany and I do. So stay on the line, and if they don't call in, we'll give you another 15-minute segment. What do you think?
Sounds good.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. This is Racer Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Welcome back. You are listening to Racer Radio right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
The segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better than El Cajon Ford. El Cajon Ford sells brand new Fords, and they'll service everything in your garage. How about that? Check El Cajon Ford out. 80% of their trade-ins are 80% of their trade-ins are by the folks that buy new cars. They don't go to the auction. They send cars to the auction that don't meet the high standards of El Cajon Ford. They support Barona Circle Track, and we got Dirt Dude on the line. Hey, Dirt Dude, how's it going?
Hey, good, doing good. How about you guys?
Well, we're on the line with David Castaneda. He's the GM of Santa Maria Raceway, and we had him stay on. Not that Barona's ever going to run into this problem, but you might want, I don't know if you listened to the first segment, but it might be good for Barona to hear how Santa Maria got through a real close call to being shut down due to people not liking the sounds
too
of
noisy.
Racing.
Yeah, I know what we're going to be in that same boat someday. Once the tribe starts growing and they start using their land that's by us, then the tribal council will be like, we'll put in restrictions on us. It's an honor today to be on the phone with these guys because, I mean, like, you're talking to two major promoters from tracks, and I'm just, like, the track announcer. So I just want to forego my 15 minutes. I'm going to give it to you guys so you can keep on going with what's going on with Santa Maria, and you're going to go to Paris next. So, hey, Barona supports all of our tracks in the area.
Yeah.
Cocopah, Paris, Ventura, Santa Maria. I've been growing up going to all these tracks. So, hey, I support all of them.
Well, you can stay online, and if you want to chime in anytime you like. I just found out we got J.C. Agajanian calling in as well at the bottom of the hour because he's going to talk about Turkey Night. So it's all fits within our realm. So, Dave, if you were talking to some of these other tracks out there, what's a good piece of advice that you could give them to ward off these potential closures?
Well, you know, a lot of it, you know, unfortunately, really just it comes down to politics. And so, you know, the important thing about our fight here was that getting the word out and making sure everybody's informed and knowing exactly what the situation is. And in the case of when, like you said, when people move into an area next to a facility, You know, we got a lot of comments about, you know, people who move next to an airport and then complain about airplanes. And that sort of thing is just not politically popular anymore, where someone just there's kind of a visceral reaction when someone moves in. You know, we made the point to the county that, you know, we didn't just plop this track next to a neighborhood.
Right.
You know, we had been here for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just even that common sense doesn't always work when you're dealing with government. But when you do get a lot of people who sincerely, and when we got a lot of messages, and listening to those messages before we got to speak actually was very interesting and really rewarding to listen to people call and talk about how the track had affected their lives. So I think if a track is in danger, it's just keep your fans involved and make sure that the local politicians understand the value in keeping facilities like this open. We're really unique. You know, there's not like another track down the street that can pick up the slack if we go away. And so that was something that really helped. Another thing that I would say, and this was a big help also, but we had all of our local chambers of commerces write letters in support of us, you know, because we bring in people that stay at their mm-hmm. hotels and mm-hmm. eat at their restaurants. Yeah. And they said, you know, this in this environment with coronavirus and everything going on, you know, they really question whether it was good to put the screws to us in any way. So I guess I would just say get the public behind you. And then it's the other side that really has the uphill fight.
I like that approach. I think that's great advice. And your approach to it on the post, it even said, be polite and respectful and tell your story.
That's what I was going to say.
I really appreciate that.
Because if you just yell, holler, and scream at politicians,
you hear enough of that.
They're not. That's going to be going on to a deaf ear. You know, you need to give them good reasons as a politician who work for us. Thank you very much.
Do they?
Why they should listen to what their constituents are saying. And again, no different than Pismo Beach, a lot of money goes into Santa Maria community. Like you said, the hotels, the restaurants, the track, all the sponsors. I mean, it's in the thousands of dollars. And I mean, why throw that out just because somebody, you know, can't? I mean, get double pane windows.
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, and it's definitely the thing with the you know, when you get the public on your side, that's something that is really hard to fight. And that's also something that the local politicians or even state politicians, you know, they take attention to that. And I think that, you know, after listening to 4 hours of comments, and you pointed out that we did ask people to be polite and respectful, because it wasn't about just calling in to complain.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted people to really let them know what this track meant to them and why. And we did get lots of people calling in about them bringing their kids here. And we had a family that brings their kids here. He used to race here, and his kids race here on the go-kart track. He brings his kids. It's a family deal. They come out. And they've been doing it for years. And he's like, you know, and then when my kids have kids, you know, I'm going to get something for my grandkids.
Right.
You know, just thinking of the future. So he called and left about a minute and a half message. And there was a number of messages like that where people were just telling their story and saying, look, you know, this is not only a positive aspect to the community, but it's something unique, not just for visitors and bringing people from out of town, but the people who live right here, who enjoy it, just, you know, go down the street and go, wow, this is great.
Yeah.
Because it is, you know, if we close down, then what do you got? You've got Ventura, which is having its own issues with regulation.
Oh,
you have Bakersfield, who's got a neighborhood, you know, they've got restrictions, you know. So as population gets bigger, you know, there's no choice. There's going to be population that are going to move, you know, close to your facility.
Right.
So you have to have some mitigation. And I will say this too. We have already, you know, we are opening it up with the neighbors to talk about some mitigation efforts. We're already talking about planting, you know, greenery and plants and things that will, trees and bamboo, to help dissipate the sound a little bit. Some other things to mitigate traffic. We've got a whole new traffic plan with the California Highway Patrol for helping us out at egress at the end of the night. These are things that are good ideas and things that came up from the neighborhood. And that's another thing I would say to a track. if the neighborhoods are complaining and if there's something that is a viable and a, you know, a reasonable request, consider it. Mm-hmm. Communicate with them.
Sure.
And there were actually people in that neighborhood who said, you know, if you mitigate this and this, I'll drop it.
Right.
You know, and so we're like, okay, well, we can work on that.
How many of the neighbors ever came to a race? Did you ever get a number?
I had a couple neighbors that had been there a long time ago, but it was more about them, you know, they had kind of gotten together and formed their own little group there. And so I had a couple of neighbors who had called me and said, you know, we really love the track, but we have to live in this neighborhood. So, you know, don't count on us, you know, coming out and supporting you.
Isn't that terrible?
They were like, yeah, you know, but I could understand that, you know, if you've got next door neighbors and they're all, you know, militant about one thing, you know, that's the last thing you want to do is go against them if you got to live with in that neighborhood.
So, I wouldn't have a problem with it at all. Are you kidding? I'd be throwing eggs at them. But anyway, hey, were you impressed with the turnout? I mean, did you have any idea that many people, I mean, 4 hours of comments, did it kind of, because I know you guys, when you're working at the track, you're kind of in the track, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you get a little myopic when you're here and you get focused on things. But, we were pleasantly surprised, not just on the number of calls, but the type of calls and the comments that were made. It just happened to be that it was the type of thing that... you know, we were watching all of the council members or the county supervisors, you know, they each had their camera on. So we had this big screen with all of their pictures on it because we were doing this big Zoom thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were one of them and with the county council and everybody else. And they were all there and they're listening to these comments and you can kind of see them reacting. they're smart enough not to do eye rolls or anything like that on camera. They know camera. So, but still you can tell that, okay, you know, there was even one supervisor who was asking us a lot of questions and we're like, wow, this doesn't look good. But in the end he says, well, you know what, if you mitigate this and the history of the track, not just the history of the track, you know, as a racetrack and as an entertainment facility, but, you know, the sheriff's department, the high patrol, they all wrote staff reports, building and planning. But the sheriff's department sent a staff report to them that said, you know what, in all these years this track has been here, we never have any problems out there. We have a good relationship. Management is always cooperative. And we don't anticipate having any problems, whether they do racings or concerts or color runs or whatever it is they do there. They do it safely. They have a head on their shoulders. And, you know, the city county or the county had to kind of listen to that also.
I'm so happy for these guys.
David,
people against us. Yeah.
You need your own radio show.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, you can talk longer than me, and I do 6 hours.
You did great,
you
David,
are awesome.
And he's happy. He's happy.
And
we're happy for him.
You can reach out to Brittany anytime you got a special event coming
updates,
up, a special race.
Dwarf races,
whatever.
Please let us know.
It doesn't just have to be dwarf. Don't pay any attention to
dwarf
her.
Dwarf races.
But
well,
hey.
That's right. But we definitely want to have those Barona folks back up here.
Oh, we want to come.
We'll do it. We'll do it. All right. Well, I'm going to talk to Don Kazarian from Paris Auto Speedway, who's trying to get his track open, and then JC Agajanian. So I'm telling you, this is a dirt show if there ever was one.
Yeah.
David, thank you very, very much. Keep up the good work.
So happy
and
for
I
you.
Won't stop with Pismo Beach. You trust me. We're gonna work on that as well. So you have a good
Keep
weekend.
Up a good fight.
Thanks, buddy, and you too, and don't ever give up. Take care, man.
All right, we'll
bye, David.
Bye.
All right, folks. This is Racer Radio right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to Racer Radio right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, this segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. Man, that is one fast half-mile track, folks. And if you've never, ever been to Paris Auto Speedway, you have missed out. They take care of the racing community like nobody better. And I got to tell you, the man, I've been wanting to get him on air, and he works so hard. This is the only thing good about COVID. because he can't go out and play in the dirt. Don Kazarian, he is the track promoter at Paris Auto Speedway. How you doing, bud?
Good, Dave. How are you?
Well, it's been a while since I've chatted with you, but we have another special guest on the line, good old J.C. Agajanian. If anybody knows dirt, they know J.C. And I don't know if you had a chance to listen. We just got off the phone with
David.
Santa Maria. They almost got closed down by the neighborhood, and they the community reached out in droves and turned the city council around to where their track is now grandfathered in, and it looks like it's going to stay alive and well.
That's good news.
Yes.
Great news.
Yeah, because if what you know as well as I do, Don, when one track goes, then it's almost like dominoes, and you do not want that to happen. So I haven't talked to you in a while, so what's going on at Paris?
Well, I think the last time I talked to you was the week before our opener, which was on March 7th, which
yep.
we had an unbelievable night. And, you know, then we were ordered to close on March 12th. We were pretty much shuttered till May 2nd. And we got reopened for private practices with limitations. So I do get to play in the dirt at least 3-4 days a week still. And we've been absolutely very busy with the private practices. But Kim and I are looking forward to reopening the facility in 2021. My schedule is just about ready to be published. I'm waiting on a couple key dates, but I can tell you our opening night will be scheduled for March 6th next year.
Okay.
And we've already got the World of Outlaws booked with the USAC CRA Sprint Cars on May 20th or March 20th. Yeah. So
man.
We're moving ahead, you know, and hoping that we're done with COVID. We've got to publish the schedule. You know, we may lose a few shows at the beginning of the year, but, you know, when I talked to USAC, you know, I first said, well, tell me when I'm going to reopen. And they said, no, we got to publish a schedule. And I said, you know what? You guys are absolutely right. So, you know, it's been a roller coaster. I'm not going to lie, but the pass will be ready to open next year. And we're looking forward to welcoming the fans back.
Mark your calendars.
Well, one thing nice about Paris Auto Speedway is the way it's laid out for fans. I mean, if, heaven forbid, we still had to deal with this virus, you're able to do self-distancing. That track is big enough with all the seating that you have that actually can be done. And the only reason I say it, in the beginning of the virus back in March, nobody knew what we were dealing with. They didn't know anything. And now that we've gone through all of this, now they know the masks, the social distancing, the washing of the hands. And by the way, folks, he's got one of the cleanest restrooms of any racetrack I've ever seen. Yeah, by far. So I think if it was to happen, I think you're in a better place. Don't you agree?
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, I have finished our COVID reopening plan that had social distancing throughout the whole facility. You know, I was actually convinced we were going to be able to reopen by mid-July. Mm-hmm. So we started preparing for that. We started installing, you know, touchless facilities in all the restrooms so you didn't have to touch any faucets or flush any toilets. You know, we're still going to finish that up.
Sure.
But, you know, we are going to be ready.
Well, I am so happy to hear that. And once the schedule comes out, anything, you know, I know it's been tough. But, I mean, have you got anything coming next year that maybe you haven't done in the past that the fans would like to know about?
Yeah, you know, Corey Kruseman and I have been trying to develop a economic sprint car class to get young kids involved and anybody involved over 14. We were working with one of the engine manufacturers. We had an engine in Corey's car. We tested it many times at the track. We were doing endurance testing, and I hate to say it, but at one point we blew the engine up. So we've changed course. You know, back east they're running, you know, the GMC 602 crate motor and sprint cars on alcohol with a carburetor. They've got 4 years of, you know, running that engine back there, no major issues. So I'm just finalizing the rules for our new SoCal Sportsman Sprint Car Division. You can have an engine delivered to your house. You order it one day, it shows up at your house the next day, free shipping, for $8,500, and that's everything except the radiator. That's
wow.
All the way
from
an air cleaner through the mufflers. And you'll probably be able to run that engine for 3 years with minor maintenance.
Wow, so, that's huge.
So we're planning on, we're going to run that at Paris, and Jimmy Naylor's going to run it at Ventura. And hopefully I'll be able to get that class down at Barona. Because that was our original plans 2 years ago. We were going to launch this thing at all three tracks. And, you know, everything fell apart when Corey and I, we were diligent. We kept going and kept begging for parts and begging for parts from the manufacturers. And a lot of them stepped up. And then, you know, lo and behold, we found out, hey, somebody's already done this.
Why
are we knocking our heads against the wall? You know, let's just go talk to these guys and work something out. So let me
ask you this: for people maybe that are not, you know, up to snuff on race car motors, compared to that engine, what's a normal sprint car motor run?
410. They're minimum 45, but you could spend upwards of $70,000, and you're good. Yeah, and you're good for about 8 races, and then it's going to cost you $15,000 to $18,000 to refresh it.
Holy mackerel!
That's why you race a dwarf car.
Yeah, I want to get new car owners in the sport.
Yeah,
I want to get young kids involved in the sport, because that's the only way it's going to grow.
Right.
And I mean, I think this has the chance to hopefully bring us back to where we were when we had 45 410 sitting in the infield every night.
I totally agree. And it's, you know, it's just, man, what a difference in price that is. I mean, right down from the air cleaner to the muffler, that's insane. Because when you buy a 410, you don't get any of that.
No, and they're putting out about 450 horsepower. Corey was impressed with the car that we were experimenting with, but you know, when we had the engine failure, we just kind of went, nah, this isn't going to work. and I think what happened, I mean, it couldn't handle the torque that the right rear and the left rear were putting on the engine. And this engine is proven, and it's got a great track record.
Well, the problem is that guy that prepares that track at Paris Auto Speedway just got too much grip.
Well, we like it a little
sick. I was gonna say, take all the credit, it's okay. And nobody knows dirt better than Don Kazarian. Well, I know a ton of racers tune into this show, and I know they were excited to hear that you were coming on, and I truly think that's the best news yet as far as supplying an engine that just about anybody and everybody that races can afford, and to be able to have the longevity of 3 years, as long as you don't abuse it and keep the maintenance up. That is just, that's probably the best news I think I've heard in the motorsport community, seriously.
Yeah, so keep an eye out on our website. The rules will be up very shortly. And, you know, we're coming back next year with 12 pass car shows instead of our standard 8.
Oh, wow.
You know, our opening night for the stock cars is on March 27th. And, come June 1st, we're running every Saturday night except for when the Southern California Fair is in town.
Wow.
Nice.
We're going back to the old days.
Yeah, well, that's new, too, because you were kind of going, every other there for a while.
Yeah, but we got some lost ground to make up.
Yeah. Well, without a shadow of a doubt, and I think the car count is going to be off the charts, especially with the new car. And as far as engines go, you've got a good supply. They won't have any problem keeping up in case you get an influx of drivers.
No.
Wow, that's
plenty of supply.
And you're gonna have some fun stuff. You're still gonna have the
4th of July,
night of
destruction.
The night of destruction.
Oh yeah, the trailers.
You haven't lived.
Oh, I've seen them when they're pulling the trailers and stuff.
I've got actually 9 night of destruction.
Oh my god.
Scheduled for next year. So. Like I said, we're going to stack them, rack them, starting in June.
Well, I tell you what. Hey, JC, I'm sorry we didn't get you on, but you know how Don is. He's just like that announcer, Scott DeLosi.
Yes, I know, Dave. Hey, Don, you know, maybe me and Dave will get together and put a put a car program together.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know if anybody can do it as good as Don. JC, I know you can, because I mean that you know racing fuel runs in your veins, so I know how that's all about. All right, well, JC, don't go anywhere. Don, you want to stay? You're more than welcome to. We're going to take a quick break, because we got to pay some bills, too, right here on Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to Racer Radio. Man, this has been one of the best Racer Radio shows we've had in a long time. We call it the Promoter Show. And I want to thank Brittany Sandoval for busting her butt to get all these on, and Scott Delosio, because without him, we wouldn't have Don and JC. So this segment, I guess I better talk about my bills. Certified Car Clinic. You looking to get your car worked on? Right there in Santee. Race car, drag car, sand car, street car. Certified Car Clinic does it all. Go to CertifiedCarCareNet.com or CertifiedCarCareNet.net. They'll take care of you. See, I'm too excited. So, hey, JC, talk turkey.
Hey, Dave. You know, it's great to be on Racer Radio again, and especially down in San Diego. You know, my son, JC3, lives down there with his family, and that includes JC4. It's really fun to have a fourth, and sisters Katie and Allie and his wife, Jen. They're all listening right now, and we want the best. We've got turkey night on hold, and that's one of the things Donnie and I were going to talk about, because both of our biggest races of the year are on hold because of the virus.
Right. I told you. So right now you're just waiting to see where all of this COVID comes together, hopefully next year, but you're still making plans?
Absolutely. You know, Turkey Night started back in 1934 and went through 1950, and in 1955, JC, my father, picked the show back up and said, I'm going to get Turkey Night going again, and we've been going ever since. And
right.
Most fun years that we had were not only at Ascot, but down at Paris, and we had huge car counts in the pits, and a guy named Kyle Larson won down there.
Who?
And he's a great dirt track racer. Of course, he's won many times, and so we were presenting him with the trophy and getting a picture with the trophy, which is known as the Aggie, and it has one of my father's hats, his cowboy hats, on the very top. And Kyle leaned over and gave the hat a kiss. And now every driver that wins the Turkey Night Grand Prix, the Thanksgiving Night USAC Grand Prix, gets to kiss the hat. And that's a big thing down there with Donnie in Paris.
That's so cool. I mean, it's just, you know, people just, if you're not a racer and you've never been to a race, I'm telling you, folks, you got to go to Paris Auto Speedway when the big cars are there. There's a ton of action with all the other divisions, but until you see a 410 sprinter going into turn one with about, what, Don, 20 of them?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing better than seeing 20, 24. In the Oval Naturals, we always start 28. And, I mean, it's just the sight to see. It
gives you goosebumps.
It really does.
I've been on the infield and seen that. Oh my God.
I tell everybody, it's ballet on dirt.
It is. It's beautiful sometimes.
It really is.
It almost looks, yeah,
synchronized. It's ballet. I mean, it's totally ballet. And I know I always give Don a hard time about setting the track up, but Don's put so many years into setting that track up. I don't think anybody knows dirt or clay like Don does. I mean, it's just been amazing. And, JC,
Dave, the greatest part is that Don and his father and his brothers used to run at Ascot.
Yeah.
And when I walk into that racetrack and I take a look at the back straightaway with the billboards there and all, it's just like I'm back home, because it looks like you're walking into Ascot Park. It's just awesome. And Ascot, regarding Turkey Night, is where guys like A.J. Foyt, Mario Andretti, guys like that, Parnelli and the Unsers, heck, you can't sleep, you can't forget them.
Oh, Tony, no.
And Sleepy Trip. And Billy Boat won there. So you can't beat that. It's just some of the best guys in the country. Don't think, in fact, I'll tell you who. Tony Stewart, standing up in his roll cage on the winning line after just in the winner's circle, just after winning, looked at me and said, you know what? My portfolio of all my NASCAR wins, running Indy and all that, my portfolio would not be complete without a Turkey Night win in it. And we're just so proud to be a part of that.
Well, you're absolutely correct. I mean, it is almost like the Indianapolis 500 of dirt. You know,
Aggie used to, of course, we still are associated with the Andretti Autosport team back at Indy, but Aggie had some of the top race cars in the Indy 500, and so he would invite guys out, like the Unsers, and like Mario and AJ and Parnelli, and they'd come out and run for him because they would like to get a ride in his Indy car next year. Mm-hmm. So it was a real nice way to have the greatest drivers in the country come to the West Coast and compete. It's awesome. You can ask Donnie about that one.
Oh, absolutely. So, JC, what's a good website for people to stay on top of Turkey Night?
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll make sure that you get all the information about
Excellent.
Turkey Night so that they can just be in touch with Racer Radio and get all the news.
Well, we really, really do appreciate it. I mean, Brittany and I work really, really hard to support the local tracks here in Southern California. Like I mentioned earlier, we had Santa Maria on.
Right.
We work with Coco Pop, Paris Auto Speedway, Barona Speedway, and Brittany, she went out on a national tour, which was wonderful for the show because it brought in a lot of tracks, a lot of drivers. And it's just, you know, there's nothing better than grassroots racing because that's where it all starts. And I have to say, if it hadn't been for the Agajanians, I don't know where this sport would be today because the vision your family has had when it comes to dirt racing is I don't know anybody that's even come close to what you guys have done from the promoting point of view. You totally get it, and I think that's so important. And Don,
thank you, Dave.
Well,
and hi, Britt. I didn't wanted to take a chance to say hi to you, but I'll tell you what. JC really brought big-time automobile racing to the West Coast.
Yeah.
And it wasn't easy for his three sons, Brother Kerry and Brother Chris and myself, to pick up where my dad left off, but we managed to, and we did our best. And a lot of guys look at us and say, hey, you know what, you guys, it took three of you to do what your
Aww.
Dad. And I said, you know what, you're right.
Well, you know, it's one thing when it's one guy with a vision.
Right.
You know what I mean? But when you've got three guys with the same vision, it's not that it takes three of you to do what your dad did, because I got a sneaky feeling your dad probably didn't sleep a lot. You know what I mean?
Go ahead. You know what, Dave? My dad used to joke because Turkey Night was right around this time of the year, and sometimes there's a little rain. It does rain occasionally in Southern California, as you might imagine. And my dad used to say, and Donnie may have heard this, that my dad used to say that a promoter sleeps with one hand out the window.
Yeah.
Well, what was it, last year, Don? We had more rainouts at Paris Auto Speedway, I think, than you've ever had. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. 2019 was not a good year for weather for us. But, you know, it's something you can't control, you know. And, you know, this was supposed to be our 25th year anniversary, you know, so we're sliding that till next year.
Yeah.
And, you know what, Dave? I wanted to, with Donnie on there, I wanted to make sure that the fans know that Scott Delosio, who is the voice of Paris Auto Speedway, also will be calling our race at Ventura for Turkey Night. So we're real proud to have him part of our show and continue. We kind of stole him away with Donnie's blessing to call our races as well, and it's great. You know, we had some of the biggest fields of cars at Paris. We had some of the biggest crowds. And Don just puts on the greatest show down there.
Yeah.
Real consummate pro. And the Aggies were so proud to be associated with him at his big racetrack.
Well, without a shadow of a doubt. And by the way, I did see Don looking up at the sky screaming. So I know he tries.
That's the truth. That is the truth. Well, you know, it right now, I do sincerely believe that we will get Turkey Night in from this Thanksgiving. Now, I'm being very anxious about it, and I was talking to one of the Andretti crew, and I was saying, well, we aren't going to make it, you know, the season's over, but we'll see you at Long Beach next year. And then I said, I hope we have Long Beach next
yeah.
year.
Yeah.
They were the first ones to get called off. And Long Beach really had done so much to get ready for the race. They had over $1 million into the event, just setting up the crash walls and some of the grandstands when they had to call it off.
Yes.
So we're hoping that they'll get that race in next year, but we're really hoping that we'll get the 80th running of Turkey Night next year at Ventura.
Right.
And it's just going to be exciting as heck. They're going to give out Aggie hats to some of the fans and just do stuff like that. It's going to be a big, big event running the 80th running of the event.
Hey, well, not to put you on the spot, but ever got any inclinations of bringing Turkey Night maybe every once in a while back to Paris?
You know, we talk about that quite a bit. And Paris, you know, it's just like Ascot. And that's where some of the best racing we've ever had. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to huddle with Don and we'll see what we can do. But it would be a great place to bring that race back to. And believe me, they set records at Paris.
Yeah.
Not only with drivers, but with speed to the races, with the site. We had almost 90 midgets there. My goodness, I didn't know there were that many in California. And they weren't all from California. They were from all over the country. And we were just thrilled. Don is such a great ambassador for the sport that, you know, we couldn't have felt more at home at his racetrack.
Right. Well, you know, I know I'm speaking for Don, but if you decided to make that happen, he would welcome that with open arms. And I'm not taking anything away from Ventura. The only difference between Ventura and Paris is the size.
That's
right.
And the show is the size. I mean, you don't see cars go as fast as you do at Paris. I mean, no place else other than Paris. And it's the way the track is built. I have not, and Brittany and I have interviewed more people than I care to admit, but we have never had anybody say, you know, Paris is okay for a racetrack. I mean,
one of the greatest places to see racing. And like I said, it's patterned after Ascot. How could you do any better than that?
I know. And tell Corey we're not trying to be mean.
Right.
We like him.
I don't take anything from Ventura.
Yeah. Maybe you could do a rotation. You know, maybe you can go back and forth. Because, like I said, they're so different tracks.
Yeah, they are.
I think it would be great. Hey, guys, I cannot thank you enough. Don, that's the only thing good about COVID is that you had time to call me. And
And I want to thank you, Dave, for all you do for the sport, too.
Hey, I do too, Dave.
My pleasure, guys, and I'll always be here for you. So will Brittany. And I want to thank you all, and we will be talking to you down the road. Thank you very much. And you're right, Scott Delosio is by far the best announcer I've ever listened to. Thanks, guys. Have a wonderful week next week. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then Gun Sports Radio's, or no, Gun Owners Radio's coming up. See, I'm all excited. Right here on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.